He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the April the 28th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, it looks like we're going to start off where we finished yesterday. A little bit of risk off here in the market, which began Friday, and it's continued on Monday, and it's continuing here today. In fact, Apple, which was positive, has now gone negative, and I would say that that's a big part of this sudden turnaround in the market today. But it's not too bad. The Dow right now is down 50 points, and the Dow checks in at 17,987, back below that 18,000 level, which it just can't seem to stay above, can it? The NASDAQ is now down 36 points. It was a little bit positive this morning. And, of course, Apple, a big impact on the NASDAQ. I want to say Apple is 10 to 15% of the NASDAQ composite. The NASDAQ is at 5,024, however, still above that 5,000 level, which you got to go back to the year 2000 to see the last time it was above 5,000. The Dow is down 36 points right now. Just barely above 18,000, barely keeping its head above water there, 18,001. Crude oil continues to hang tough, real tough, $57.10 per barrel. Gold checks in at 1204. I noticed some movement in the gold stocks here recently to the upside. The euro is moving higher today, go figure, 1.0966, and the 10-year yield, it's also moving a bit higher today at 1.95%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. The first thing that I noticed on Monday of this week as I went through my holdings, that there was a bit of a move to the downside, a little bit more than normal in a lot of the risk-on areas of the market. What are the risk-on areas of the market? Well, it's the small-cap stocks. It's the technology stocks, which had a bit of a sell-off via the chip stocks last week. It's the biotech stocks that have led the market for the last two or three years, believe it or not. The healthcare stocks, the leadership stocks. In fact, the leaders are going to be the most vulnerable when a down day comes along. And when a down day comes along, I noticed a pattern. I would get a tweet, somebody would ask me about a specific stock. What's wrong with this stock today? And as I went through my daily stroll through the market, I noticed that it wasn't just that individual stock, it was the whole neighborhood that was having an issue. They were all selling off, so you can't really say that it was stock specific. There's nothing wrong with this individual stock, but from time to time, when the tide goes out for a day or two or a week or two, it takes everything with it. So that's the first thing you have to identify, is whether or not it's your particular company that's in trouble or whether it's a sell-off in the entire neighborhood. And then as my day progressed and I noticed that there were several neighborhoods that were selling off, and you scratch your head and you try to figure out why, I received a phone call from Reuters in London first, and they asked me, Mr. Gunderson, what is wrong? Why are the biotech and healthcare medical related stocks selling off today? And you know, by then I had a fairly good opinion of what was going on. Number one, they've been leading for a long time, and there's going to be sell-offs from time to time. Just like the market has been in a bull market for the last 6 years, there's been a lot of bad days and a lot of bad weeks during that 6-year period of time. where you had to stop and ask yourself, is this the end? Is it over? And if you made the decision on any one of those sell-offs that the bull market was over, you were wrong. Because if I'm not mistaken, just a few days ago, we saw another new all-time high. So there's going to be lots of one-day, two-day, one-week, two-week sell-offs in areas of the market. But obviously, at some point in time, it is going to be the big one. Every time we have a little shaker down here in the Southern California area with an earthquake, we always ask ourselves, is this the big one? You know, is my building going to collapse? Am I going to end up in Arizona? That's what we ask ourselves. And the same thing happens in the market. When a sector sells off for a day or two, you ask yourself, is this the big one? And then as I looked around at the news, and I looked around at what was going on, I came to the conclusion myself that it was just kind of a convergence of events. There was a bad earnings report out of Biogen last week. There was a company that had an accounting issue yesterday in the medical sector. There was a takeover attempt, Teva over Mylan, that was rejected. No, I don't want to go to the prom with you. That would be like the other day we were at the Padre-Dodger game, and on the scoreboard they showed a young man on his knees proposing on the scoreboard to his fiancée, now-to-be fiancée. What if she would have said no, you know, on the scoreboard? That would have been not a pretty scene. But that's what Mylan said to Teva yesterday, no. And then they wrote a blistering, nasty letter. Hey, don't ever ask us to the prom again. We're not going to the prom with you now, ever, ever. Well, we'll see at what price. You know, maybe if the price is right, they'll go to the prom. But that was another negative that was building up in the medical sector on Monday of this week. And so I told Reuters of London, I said, you know, I've come to the conclusion that there's probably some big institution somewhere, whether it's Vanguard or Fidelity or T. Rowe Price or one of the big guys, American Funds, saying, you know, I think we want to lower our exposure a little bit here to this sector. And maybe we want to increase our exposure over here, whether it's Europe. And I do think that's a movement right now. I do think there's money trickling out of the U.S. markets, and they're chasing quantitative easing in China, chasing quantitative easing in Europe. And what becomes a source of funds to move money to these new areas? Well, some of the hottest areas of the U.S. market, right? Pretty easy to say, gee, we got big profits here in the medical sector. Let's take some of that money because we're out of whack. We need to rebalance. We have too much exposure now to this red-hot sector. Let's skim off a little bit of the profits and let's move it overseas to Europe. Well, you know, when a big institution does that, you feel it in the market. It ripples through the market. They're not moving a few million dollars. They're moving billions of dollars out of one area and into another area, and the market's going to feel the impact of that. And that was the conclusion that I came away with, at least as of Monday. Now, I told Reuters, I said, you know, my opinion may change, but I can tell you this, as of right now, I've had an overweighting in the biotech sector and in the healthcare sector and in the medical sector, and I'm not going to say that today was the end of the move in these sectors. There's still good value there, believe it or not. There's still good growth there. In fact, it remains one of the sectors of our economy that is growing much faster than the rest of the sectors in the market. But I said I'm going to be vigilant and watch it going forward. I'm not married to the sector. But as of now, my conclusion is that, you know, some big institution somewhere is probably rebalancing their portfolios, and we're feeling it in the market, and that rebalancing may continue for the next several days. And then I got a call from Reuters in New York, a different reporter. I don't know. I guess I'm on Reuters' list. I don't even have a British accent or anything like that, but I do have ancestors from the British Isles. And they asked me the same question, and I gave them the same answer. I looked last night, I was quoted in Reuters several times. Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital says this was probably just some rebalancing, a move. I wouldn't call this the death nail in the biotech sector, but stay tuned. No sector goes up forever. No index goes up forever. No stock goes up forever. But as of now, from time to time, leading sectors are going to sell off as big institutions muscle around and move billions and billions of dollars from one sector to another. So far, that's what it looked like. But again, stay tuned. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, what stock do you think that we're going to feature here today? You know, it was the one everybody was waiting for to report earnings. When I wrote my book back in 2011, one of the 53 stocks that I chose to feature as Best Stocks Now at that time was Apple. And split adjusted, Apple was trading at about $50 a share when I wrote the book. It was actually at $350 because it has split 7-for-1 since then. But split adjusted, it was at $50. Well, now the stock's at $130. So it's gone from $350 to $910 per share. It's almost tripled from that level. It was the best stock now sitting there to be had at that time. Well, that was 2012, but what about today? Now it's a $763 billion stock. Back then it was about a $300 billion stock. Is the world not flush with iPhones and iBooks and all the other products, iWatches now and all the other products, iPads that Apple makes? Well, now I guess China's sales for products in China now exceed sales for products here in the U.S. They love those iPhones over in China. Let's take a look and let's put Apple under the microscope. Now, 2015, April. By the way, GDP comes out. You got all these companies that are reporting earnings right now. Our country will report earnings pretty soon here. I believe it's Wednesday of this week when the country reports its GDP, and I think the expectations are right around 2%, something like that. But that will also be a market mover, so be watching for that. Over the last 10 years, Apple, which is now led by Tim Cook, after Steve Jobs went home to his maker, we have Apple shares over the last 10 years averaging 39.2% per year. Well, that's one of the best performing stocks in the entire market. It should come as no surprise, because over the last 10 years, while the market's been averaging 6.2% per year, Apple's been averaging 39.2. You know, hindsight being 2020, we should have just put our entire portfolio, retirement plan, college funds, bank accounts, CDs, right into Apple 10 years ago. You've averaged 39.2% per year over the last 10 years. Over the last 5 years, Apple has delivered to its investors 30% per year, while the market's delivered 12% per year. And the Cupertino company over the last 3 years, however, has just barely outperformed the S&P 500. While the S&P 500 was averaging 14.5, Apple was averaging 17.7. Apple had a big swoon. I can remember when it hit 700 and it went to like 710 or something like that, then it started to roll over. I sold it somewhere in the 650 area. And before the swoon was all over, it went clear down to 350. It lost half of its value, and that's reflected still in its three-year average. I'm not a permabull on the market, and I'm not a permabull on stocks. And in fact, I went on CNBC at that time on the economy segment at CNBC, and they asked me, as Apple was falling, I said, Apple is dead money right now. I would wait. I think what eventually is going to happen is Apple's going to find a bottom, just like oil has recently. Apple stock is going to start going sideways, where it'll still be dead money. And then at some point, Apple's going to start breaking out to the upside again, and that's when you're going to want to get back into it. And that's exactly what happened. And I did get back into it, and Apple has gone up ever since. Apple's now back to its 700 level, right, split adjusted. In fact, it's at 810 right now, split adjusted. And it recently hit an all-time high just about a month ago. all-time high, and the company is now a $760 billion market cap. It gets a performance grade of A-. It gets a momentum grade of A. And on a scale of 1 to 99, relative strength is still 91 on Apple. It still passes with flying colors the performance test that I put stocks through. The hoop, the performance hoop that it's got to jump through, it comes out on the other end with flying colors. Now, the valuation is the critical part of Apple, because now, yeah, it's good to look back on what the company has done and the phenomenal performance, but you know what everybody always says about Apple? Well, what can you do next to top what you've done already? It's obvious that the Apple 6 was a hit product. I love my Apple 6S Plus. Is that what it is, 6S? It's the plus size. I like the bigger screen. You know, it's nice to be able to see my email, see my text messages, see breaking news, all kinds of things. My calendar, my Rolodex file. Remember the old Rolodex that we had to spin through the cards to find someone? Now I just flip with my finger to the person I have to call, push it, and it calls. It's pretty amazing technology. I'll be forever thankful to Steve Jobs for making my life a lot easier. But what about the future of Apple? Apple is currently trading at 14 times forward earnings. The market's at about 17 or 18, so it's still trading at a discount to the market. I think there's a lot of people that say it can't grow anymore. How can it grow anymore? It's becoming like Coca-Cola. Everybody has an Apple iPhone. That's not true. There's still plenty of room for growth. In fact, they're expected, the analysts think it could continue to grow by about 13% per year going forward. That's pretty good for a $760 billion company. If we take the forward PE of 14 and the earnings growth expectations of 13, we get a pretty reasonable PEG ratio of 1.07 right now. And if I put my pencil to it, and this is the old numbers, this doesn't take into account the earnings beat that they had this week, which will obviously rise their expectations for next year. Right now, Apple's expected to make $9.41 in earnings next year. And if we put a multiple, if we grow those earnings by 13% a year over the next 5 years, put a multiple on it, I come up with the target price of $220. The stock's currently trading at $130. You're crazy, Gunderson. That would put it at a $1 trillion company. Well, that's what the numbers suggest right now. And just like back in 2012 when I said Apple could go from 350 to 700, well, it's done that, hasn't it? And it can continue to go up, not at the pace it used to, but still at a decent enough pace to continue to own the stock, and that's why I own it. It comes in at number 77 out of 4,043. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets. Not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to, and the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son, and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out, and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe." Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
Second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, so far we've talked a little bit about the big sell-off that happened on Monday of this week, and a lot of the risk-on areas of the market, mainly I would say the biotech, the drug sector. And as of now, it looks like there were some forces that converged. Mylan's refusal to take the proposal from Teva to buy them out for quite a hefty price. Let's not forget that. You know, Mylan, the offer was $82 per share. Mylan's currently trading at $72, so at least somebody out there, Teva Pharmaceutical, thinks Mylan is worth a lot more than what it's currently trading at, and I agree with that. And that's why I continue to own Mylan Labs, M-Y-L, because, you know, they may be playing hard to get. You know how it goes. Oh, no. We're not even interested at 82. But who knows? Maybe at 92, they may say, hey, okay, we'll go to the prom with you. You just never know. Or somebody else comes in, another suitor, maybe an activist, maybe an Amerisource Bergen, something like that. Mylan is definitely under the microscope right now, and there's a few companies sniffing around it. $27 billion is where Mylan trades right now. So I don't have any intention of selling my Mylan stock. But that had something to do with the biotech sell-off. There was a company with some accounting concerns. There was a few earnings reports that weren't quite up to the tremendous growth that was expected from these companies. And there very likely could have been an institution or two that said, you know what, we're just going to rebalance. Don't forget these institutions rebalance. I rebalance. I had a stock that doubled, Skyworks, and it became a large part of one of the portfolios that I managed. I cut that position in half, and I moved the money elsewhere. Don't you think a lot of these institutions are sitting there with big, big profits in the biotech sector, in the medical sector, in the healthcare sector, in the pharmaceutical sector, and they say, hey, it's time to rebalance a little bit. These sectors have become 11% of our portfolio. Let's cut them back to 6 or 7% where they belong. And they do some selling, they do some shuffling, they do some rebalancing, and that money goes somewhere else. I'm seeing a lot of money headed to Europe right now. I've continued to put a little bit of money over in Europe. Why? Quantitative easing. It's pretty simple. QE. And I'm seeing some of the European stocks, UBS, Lyondell, LYB, and some others that are breaking out to the upside. And it is kind of like a rising tide over in Europe is starting to lift all boats. And there's some European ETFs that you might want to sniff around right now. And the same thing's going on in China, only in a lot riskier manner. China tends to do things out there on the edge. And so you just have to realize that when you invest in China, and I have to say I haven't had the best of luck in the last several years dipping my toe into the Chinese waters. I mean, China's up 20 to 25% already this year. Just step lightly is all I can say. Choose your spots very, very carefully if you want to play that Chinese market. But what's going on in China? Same thing. They are cutting interest rates, and they've got a lot further to go. I mean, they're at 6.5%, 7%, so they could go a lot further to the downside. And secondly, they're doing what we were doing. They're buying back their own debt, keeping interest rates low, stoking the economy, and that's helping the Chinese stock market right now. All right, let's talk about another. Oh, and we just put Apple under the microscope. At least from my perspective, I own Apple in my dividend and growth account for income. Apple currently has a dividend yield of 1.4%. The yield on the U.S. Treasury is 1.9%. And yes, there's a lot more risk in owning Apple than a U.S. Treasury, but if you're going to own a U.S. Treasury, what can you expect over the next 5 years? About 1.9%, right? Unless interest rates go lower and the value of that bond goes up, which, I don't know, seems highly unlikely to me. It's more of just a parking place to me. Whereas on the other hand, a stock like Apple getting 1.4%, and there's potential there, there's risk, but there's also potential for the stock to go up over the next 5 years. And if you put those two side by side, in my humble opinion, Bill, you can have a $10,000 bond, U.S. Treasury bond, or $10,000 in Apple stock. Which one would you take? If you were at Let's Make a Deal and Monty Hall said, behind door number one, here's a sure thing, here's $10,000 in U.S. Treasury bonds, or we'll give you $10,000 in Apple stock, which one would you take? Well, hey, from my opinion, my humble opinion, I think there's more upside potential. I think 5 years from now, there's much more potential that my Apple stock will be worth more than that U.S. Treasury bond. And, of course, along the way, I could sell my Apple stock at any point in time if I'm wrong. So, I don't know. I just see more potential. I continue to own Apple stock. All right. How about Merck? There's a good one to put under the microscope. When accounts transfer to me from large firms, you know, always names that you would recognize. Oh, yeah, I've heard of them. They're a big regional firm, or they're a nationwide firm. Lots of people working for them. Lots of people, lots of money under management, lots of accounts, lots of commercials on TV. They recognize that name. They've built a brand over the years. Well, you're going to see a lot of the same stocks come in time and time again. And one of the usual suspects is Merck. Merck, M-R-K, headquartered in New Jersey, is now a $169 billion stock. Here's a problem. 10 years ago, actually 7 years ago, it was a $169 billion stock. The stock has gone nowhere in the last 7-8 years. Why? Well, the answer is really simple. Back in 2008, which I'm looking at here, I'm going to the bottom of the recession, Merck made $3.43 per share. Well, that's pretty good. It's a profitable company. But here we are 7 years later. Merck's expected to make this year $3.37 per share. There has been no earnings growth whatsoever in the last many years. And what happens when a company doesn't grow their earnings? Well, look at McDonald's. The stock doesn't go up. Look at Coca-Cola. The stock puts in very flat to mediocre performance. And the same can be found in Merck. In fact, well, you know what? I mean, Merck has actually done better than it should have. And the only reason that it's given much return at all, it still pays a very hefty dividend of 3%. But overall, the earnings have been very, very flat. And going forward, the earnings growth is expected to be about 5% per year. And as I look at a chart of Merck over the last 12 months, I see a stock that's flailing about. It's flailing about between $55 per share and about $62 per share. And right now it's mired right in the middle at $59 per share. In fact, over the last 12 months, Merck stock is up 2.8%. You know, that's all dividend. If you took away the dividend, the stock has not grown at all. It's gone up 2.8%. Now, it's done okay. You know, you take a look out over the longer haul, and it's been about a market performer, maybe just a little bit better. In fact, the performance grade on Merck currently comes in at B-. It's a B- performer. I don't know about you. If I studied real hard for a test and read the chapter and did the practice test and quiz, did the flashcards, and I got a B- grade, I wouldn't be too happy with myself. And that's the grade that Merck has earned when it's compared against all the other stocks and mutual funds and indexes out there. The momentum grade is C-. It's just not going much of anywhere. And the valuation is not that compelling. Out of 4,043 stocks, Merck comes in at number 2,841. Hey, I got to throw in a clunker every once and again so you'll recognize the difference between a good stock and a mediocre stock. And I consider Merck to be a mediocre stock. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You know, rumors fly throughout the market, don't they? And we saw a rumor that an American ship had been seized by the Iranians and the market started to sell off and plunge. And then all of a sudden the rumor was denied and the market starts to come back. It is not to drive you batty after a while. But you know what? You kind of have to stick. That's why I stick with the numbers. What do the numbers say? Because the numbers don't have opinions. The numbers don't belong to one political party or another. The numbers don't watch TV. The numbers are the numbers. And when it comes to a stock like Apple, you know, the numbers speak louder than anything. And we're going to get all kinds of opinions today, tomorrow, next week on Apple and how their quarter went, and they're going to dissect it. But you know what it comes down to? In my opinion, you look at the numbers. Right now, Apple's expected to make $9.41 in earnings next year, $8.71 this year. What impact does the recent earnings report, the briskness or non-briskness of the sales of the iWatches, what's that have to do? What effect does that impact have on the stock? Well, it comes down to what impact does it have on the bottom line numbers. And that's all I know. Back in 2008, Merck's earnings were the same as they're going to be today. And if we look at Apple, Apple made 97 cents a share in 2008. And today they're $8.71. That works out to a compound annual growth rate of 31% per year. Growth, earnings growth. And the stock price appreciation almost goes hand in hand with that earnings growth. And on the other hand, you have a company like Merck that over the last 5 years has grown their earnings by 1% per year. Now, is it that Merck can't come up with any innovative products or any kind of growth or acquisitions? Something's not going right there. I mean, you have to point the finger of blame somewhere. And unfortunately, you cannot blame anybody else but right to the top. You got to go right to the top. One company has a CEO that has been coming up, a management team that's been coming up with new products, new exciting. And I know there's harder to come up with new drugs, but hey, they could have been buying some of these smaller biotechs that had promising products to beef up their pipeline. But the bottom line is they haven't had very much success at Merck in growing their earnings. And that's what it's all about as the CEO of a company, as from the shareholders' point of view. And Apple has done an excellent job of growing their earnings and has been a very shareholder-friendly company, too. I don't think anybody's complaining of it's owned the stock over the last 10 years. And yet I would think there would be a little bit of grumbling there at Merck. The numbers are the numbers. They're still making today what they were making many, many, many years ago. And on the other hand, the other company's earnings continue to grow. And even when you say, what else can they come up with? There was iPhone 1 and iPhone 2 and iPhone 3 and iPhone 4 and 5 and 6. But each time they come up with a new one, there's something there that we've got to have that the old one didn't have. And we trade in our old one for the new one, and Apple walks away to the better. And they continue to innovate and come up with things, I suppose, that we have to have. Will they hit a wall at some point in time? You would think so. Have they hit the wall yet? It doesn't appear so. Because their earnings are looking to be 35% higher this year than last year. And on the other hand, Merck's earnings are looking to be 3% less. One company's growing their earnings by 35% year over year, and the other company is sinking by 3%. And yet the value investor will come along and say, Merck is the better buy because it's trading at a more reasonable multiple. Well, Merck's got a P.E. ratio of 16. Apple's got a P.E. ratio of 16. They both have the same P.E. ratios. Who has more upside potential? Who has more potential? Who's proven themselves more? Two companies trading at 16 times earnings, and I suppose the value investor would lean towards Merck by far. The momentum investor would lean towards Apple by far. And the guy like me that's in the middle who wants performance and value can see maybe, I don't even see the value in Merck, to be honest with you. I think it's overpriced. And the performance has been lousy. I require one of the hoops that the company has to jump through is that performance. And Apple has the performance and it has the same valuation as Merck, but a lot more upside potential. So look, everybody looks at the stock market differently. Not everybody agrees with me. They would have a different methodology for choosing the companies they invest in. And you know, that's what makes for a market. That's what makes it so fun to come to work every day. But it's just been my experience over the years that if you're patient, that if you look for superior companies with superior growth, superior earnings growth, superior management, superior products, and if you still buy them when they're reasonably priced, and then you be patient. You can't give them 3 weeks. You can't give them 4 weeks. Not even 3 months or 4 months. Usually it takes a little bit of time to reap the rewards from the work that you do. Everybody wants instant success in the market. That just doesn't happen. It's a slow, grinded out process. And if you're using some kind of whatever your methodology is, and if you believe in it, and if you're consistent with it, and if you stick to your discipline over time, it should pay off. But I would add in another word there, and that's the word patient. I've had people that, you know, after several weeks, oh, my stocks that you bought haven't gone anywhere. Several weeks! You know, that's just the nature of the beast sometimes in this industry. Anyways, I put out a newsletter. People ask me, why haven't you written a book lately? Well, I write 45 pages every Friday. Multiply that by 52, that's over 2,000 pages. I don't really want to write War and Peace. I do my piece every week because the market changes every week. A book becomes stale pretty quickly in the market. And that's why I write a short book, a chapter, if you will, every single week. You can get the newsletter by going to my website at pwstreet.com or give us a call if you'd like us to manage money for you. 800-855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.